we thank you so much for the songs we've sung, even this last Christmas carol, really the last carol that we'll sing for this season. And we focus on that little town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born, promised to be born there. He was born there. And it talks about the hopes and fears of all the years being met in Jesus, being met in that Bethlehem town. So, Lord, I pray as we one more time think a little bit about Christmas and the birth of Jesus, but really what he means for this next year, what he means for every year. There are some folks in this room who had hopes for 2022, and they were perhaps disappointed. There were some fears, perhaps, for 2022, and they may have been realized. And now we enter a new year with new hopes and new fears, perhaps. And Lord, we pray that we can learn to trust you in those, because you are met. You meet us in all our hopes and fears. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, worship team. Turn in your Bibles to Micah. It's a small prophet near the end of the Old Testament. Micah chapter 5. We'll be in that pretty much the whole service. We've been in the Advent season for a while now. My goodness. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve, by the way, service, and Christmas Day service. We've been looking at scripture and carols that remind us of the true meaning of Christmas. Advent is celebrating the coming or arrival of Jesus. And so also we've been praying for the arrival of Jesus in the hearts of our friends and neighbors. And also looking forward to the arrival of Jesus for the second time. There's a longing that Advent brings us for Jesus. And now we kind of exhale and we put all the paper away and go to the recycling center with, who knows, a record number of cardboard boxes. I don't know about your house. And kind of exhaling and cleaning, and we got through that season. Well, how about one more Christmas song? By the way, I have never preached this many Christmas sermons. This is my seventh in Advent. Sometimes it's three or four. So I went a little crazy this year. Right? Molly, shh. So I'll tell you why, what line caught my attention in the song in just a minute, but Philip Brooks, the composer of this famous Christmas carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, was the minister of Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, and he visited Bethlehem in December of 1865. He traveled to the Holy Land. Well, part of the itinerary included a horseback ride from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. Now, that sounds so cool, although I'm not a great horseback rider. I tend to ride the horse like this. It's not very good. It hurts. But he rode a horse to Bethlehem. Back then, it was truly a small village, far removed from the bustling city it now is. By nightfall, he was in the field where, according to tradition, the shepherds heard the angel's announcement. Then he attended the Christmas Eve service at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. That just stayed with him. So years later, he wanted a new song for Christmas for the children to sing at his church. So he went back to his memory of that horse ride to Bethlehem. He was in the field. He was in the Church of the Nativity, and he wrote this song. He says, "I remember especially on Christmas Eve when I was standing in the old church in Bethlehem, close to the spot where Jesus was born, when the whole church was ringing our after hour with the splendid hymns of praise, how again and again it seemed as if I could hear the voices I knew well telling each other of the wonderful night of the Savior's birth in Bethlehem. So here's the first verse. It goes like this, O little town of Bethlehem, how we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. It's that last line that captured me for New Year's. So we'll try to make this Christmas sermon a New Year's sermon. You know, if there's any diary folks or journal folks here, you could go back to January 2022, and you could list your goals. You saw the goals you listed, or maybe some of the hopes for the year that you were hoping for. Maybe even some of the things you were afraid of, some fears. And now looking back, you can see some of those hopes were realized. Some of those hopes were not realized. And some of those fears actually came true. Right? By the way, you can, by reading Facebook, you can see all the folks who are done with the last year, right? They're just, we're done with 2022. By the way, that happens every year. We are so done with 1912. I mean, so that just happens every year. The hopes and fears of every year are met in Jesus. So, what are your hopes for 2023? What are your fears for 2023? So let's look at three things this morning. First, this new year, we see our humility. Look at Micah chapter 5, verse 1. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid upon us. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. Let's just stop right there. I want to point out something here. Micah 5 is regarded as a prophecy of a leader, a shepherd, a Messiah that's going to come forth from this small town of Bethlehem. Israel is under siege. They're being judged by a foreign power. But hope will arise, and a leader will come from one of the most unlikely places, a small little town, Bethlehem. John Piper writes that Bethlehem is scarcely worth counting among the clans of Judah. Yet God chooses to bring his magnificent Messiah out of this town. Why? One answer is that the Messiah is of the lineage of David. And David was from Bethlehem. That's true. But let's don't miss the point of verse 2. The point of verse 2 is that Bethlehem is small. Not that it's great because David was born there. God chooses something small, quiet, out of the way, and does something there that changes the course of history and eternity. Now, here's the verse again. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, and the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Again, Israel is under siege. The dark nights are there. But a light is going to shine. Why Bethlehem? Well, the point we want to make here is that God uses small, insignificant things. Small from the world's perspective, for his purposes. God chose a poor, humble teenage girl to be the mother of Jesus, who was to be married to a humble carpenter, Joseph. Micah says that Bethlehem is actually not little, too little. too little, very little, extremely little. One commentator said that it's not only the size, but the insignificance of Bethlehem, which made this prophecy so surprising. There is no way a leader should come from a town that's too little. Why this town? Well, so no big, impressive town could take credit for the greatness and glory of Jesus. Why a manger? Well, so no innkeeper could take the credit. Can you imagine the sign? Jesus slept here. Yeah, that would bring in the business, wouldn't it? God uses small, humble things and people to do his work so that he gets the honor and glory. So what about you moving into the new year? Now, please don't hear me calling you small and insignificant. You probably do that every day when you look in the mirror. And you see all that's happening in the world and how big the world is and how can I make a difference. So, God uses small and insignificant things and people for his purposes. We can look back on the past year and highlight disappointments, which people do, and I understand. I could give you my list. I'd just soon keep it to myself and give it to the Lord. And we can move into a new year wondering what's going to happen next. What shoe's going to fall next? I mean, but how about just reframing things this way? With the time God's given me in 2023, how can I make a difference for the kingdom? What can I do with the time God's given me to make a difference in the kingdom? How can too little me make a difference? How can, don't be offended, how can too little you make a difference? Alan Vermeil writes, "The question is not whether God uses the small, the powerless, and the vulnerable of the world. He's already proven that he does that. The real question is whether you're prepared to be surprised by how he might use you to contribute to the kingdom. Don't count yourself out. You simply need to be available for him to use you." And 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 says, "God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." So as we move into 2023, would you keep your humility before the Lord? Now, we're not talking about self-deprecating ourselves. That Satan might be doing that for you. We're just talking about putting ourselves in the presence of the Lord, knowing he's God and we're not. He calendars 2023. I don't. I have some hopes. But he calendars it and he redirects things all the time. Have you noticed? So this new year, let's remember our humility before the Lord and that he wants to use too little you and too little me for his purposes. Secondly, this new year, we see God's promises. Look at the second half of verse 2. "From you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." So, this prophecy is for a ruler to come forth from Bethlehem, too little Bethlehem. But he will be coming forth from eternity. Micah says he's from of old, from the ancient of days. Now, that phrase is used in other places in Scripture. For instance, Daniel 7, Verse 13 says, I saw in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, Jesus. And he came to the Ancient of Days, the Father, and was presented before him. And to him, the Ancient of Days, to the Son of Man, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve. So Jesus comes from the Ancient of Days. He comes from eternity. He was born into little Bethlehem, but came from heaven. John 1, which we studied months ago, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. So, centuries before Jesus was born, there was a promise he'd be born, and God kept that promise. Don't want to forget that. Verse 2 of our song says this, for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above, while mortals sleep, the angels keep. I love that. You know, we're mortal, right? And while mortals were sleeping, heaven was singing. Heaven was sending its greatest representative, Jesus, to us. The immortal took on mortality. He would die on a cross. Of course, be resurrected and glorified and now sits at the right hand of the Father. But my goodness, the immortal for just a few years became mortal. And so the song sings, while mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. O morning stars, gather together, proclaim thy holy birth, and praises sing to the God the King, and peace on men to men on earth. So Jesus was the fulfillment of promises found in the Old Testament. We've just seen one, this one about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Another promise is in 2 Samuel 7. Verse 12 says, and God said to David, I will raise up for your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish a throne of his kingdom forever, and your house and your kingdom, David, shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne will be established forever. So David was given a promise that one would come and establish his kingdom out of the body of David, out of the lineage of David, and he would rule forever. And again, that promise was kept. Even the Jews knew the Messiah was promised to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. John 7:42 says, has not the scripture said that Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? Even the unbelieving Jews knew this prophecy had come true. There is a promise hidden in this text as well, I want to point out. In Micah, it says this in verse 3. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. So here we have this prophecy. We don't have the exact timeline from the prophet, but after this Messiah is born, at some point, Israel will return to God. And so even though Israel, many of Israel, not all of them, reject Jesus initially, there's a promise in the Old Testament that they will come to Jesus in the end. Romans 11 says the same thing. Verse 25, lest ye be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel. So that partial hardening, that's why they rejected Jesus. Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, until all that are to be saved have come in, every tribe, every tongue. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it's written, The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. So a day is coming when Israel will be saved. And that's promised even in the Old Testament. So you can see the promises of God that he keeps. So what about us as we move into 2023? You know, God promised to send a Messiah when they were going into captivity, not when they were coming out. Things were falling apart. The streets were dark, but a light was shining. So I don't know what this year holds forth. I am not a prophet. Do not stone me. I know nothing. But I will tell you that there'll be good and there'll be bad, right? But God's promises never change. And you might be in that season where you feel like you're under siege. God's promise is still true. God's promises never change, regardless of what's coming our way. No matter what came your way 2022, no matter what comes your way in 2023, God's promises are still true, and they will come true. Our hopes may not be realized this year. Do you know that? They might not be if they're not part of God's plan. You know, sometimes we have hopes that just don't line up. Sometimes we don't even have fears and they come on us anyway, right? Circumstances bring things we're like, whoa, I didn't see that coming. God's promises are true in all those. And so in 2023, I just want to ask us to stand on the promises of God, regardless of what happens. When the good stuff happens, don't forget God and think, wow, look what I did. Come on, people. I mean, we don't do that, right? We're like, we thank God, but when the bad stuff happens, we don't blame him either, because he told us we'd have trouble, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. So this new year, we see our humility, and we see God's promises, and lastly, we see God's protection and peace. Look at verse 4 and 5. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. Well, what a promise concerning the Messiah. He will stand and shepherd his people in the strength and the majesty of the Lord. He doesn't get shaken by the circumstances. He stands in the strength and majesty of the Lord, of the Father. Now, Israel had many bad, evil, or false shepherds, but this Messiah protects his people. People will dwell in him securely. And the scripture says, because his glory covers the ends of the earth, and he comes for all people, every tribe, every tongue. Micah says that this Messiah will be their peace. That's why Isaiah would call Jesus, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And no wonder Jesus would call himself in John 10 this way. He described himself, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he did lay down his life for his sheep, for us, on the cross, and made salvation possible for all who put their faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus. Now, listen to me, if you would, for just a minute. I'm sure you were already listening to me, but so I did it for emphasis. The security he offers is not the avoidance of difficult circumstances. The protection he offers is not the avoidance of all bad things this year. That's not the protection I think he's offering here. It is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And although there are definite times he protects us in this life, and we've all experienced that, the ultimate protection is that nothing in this life can separate us from the next life. Nothing in this temporal life can separate us from the love of the Father in the next life. John 10, 28, 29, which we studied weeks ago. I keep coming back to John because it's so sweet. I give them eternal life, Jesus says, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them from my Father's hand. I love the double protection we see in this verse, the double security provided here. Jesus gives eternal life, and the believer is securely placed in the omnipotent hand of Jesus. And the scripture says that the Father's omnipotent hand has the believer as well. So you have this double protection. I think a few weeks ago I coined a word that's not a word, but I said I just love that we are double unsnatchable. We can't be snatched. That's the protection. That's the security that he's talking about. So nothing in this life can snatch you from eternal life, from the Father, from Jesus. Listen to one more verse of our song. How silently the wondrous gift is given. I just meditated on that one line for a little bit. How silently this wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. So as we enter the new year and we reflect on the season where God imparted to human hearts the blessing of heaven, the song suggests the wondrous gift came silently that Christmas. Well, we know there were angels, but most of the world was sleeping through it all, right? We know of some shepherds. We know of a few wise men. But beyond that, everyone else seems to be sleeping while heaven bursts forth silently. And many ears don't hear because of the hustle and bustle and chaotic Christmas traditions we have created. They're louder than the message of Jesus, often. But this Christmas, before we leave, as we go into a new year, we want to hear that silent message. I love Elijah. He's one of my favorites. And he was in a mess one day, and God put him on the cleft of a rock. And there was an earthquake, and there was rain and a storm. And the scripture clearly says that God wasn't in the earthquake. God didn't speak in the storm. And then all of a sudden, there was this still, small voice. And the scripture says God was in the small voice. Listen, as we move into a new year, are you willing to stop for a few minutes each day and hear a silent message from heaven to you? Open the Word of God to pray. Psalms 46 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." What if each day we just were still and we said, "God, you're God, I'm not. I'm glad." And heard a silent message from heaven each and every day. I'm afraid if we just get up and run, we're going to miss the silent message that heaven has for you in his word and by his spirit. So Micah 7, Micah 7, towards the end of the book, verse 18 ends this way. Micah ends this way. "Who is God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in his steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. So those who come to Christ have their sins thrown into the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. He shows compassion to us regularly, like his mercies are new every day. We can wake up every day and experience through his word and his Holy Spirit by listening to that still small voice. And he'll whisper, no matter what happens, I'm with you. No matter what happens, I've got you. And I'll protect you for eternity. And I'll give you peace for eternity. This year we see our humility, God's promises, and his protection and peace. So I don't know how you respond to this message this morning. Go ahead. Think about it. What are your hopes and fears for the year? But may the Holy Spirit and the Word of God remind you that Jesus meets us in our hopes and fears. He's the promise that's been given to an answer for all your hopes and fears. Will you trust him in 2023? So there's a song by Ring Collective. It's called For All You've Done, and it's to the tune of Auld Lang Syne, whatever that means, right? Auld Lang Syne. Okay. So here is the words. Your grace will never be forgot. Your mercy all my life will be the source forever song, my story and my light. From the mountaintop to valley low, through laughter and through tears, surely the goodness of my God will follow all my years. For all that you've done, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for all you've done. You know our failures and regrets. You always led us home. Redemption's arm has raised us up, our triumph in the storm. For all that you've done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for all that you have done. You're faithful through the ages. In unity we'll stand as one. As family we'll go, shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, into the great unknown. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for one more Christmas song. We thank you for Micah 5 and how they've come together to just remind us that you are in all our hopes and fears. All our hopes and fears, the past year, the next year, Lord, are met with you, are answered by you, are visited by you, are present with you. We're so grateful that Jesus took on flesh that first Christmas, and while mortals were sleeping, heaven came down. Lord, if there's anyone here in this room who's yet to open their heart to Jesus, we read in Micah and we've read in other places in Scripture that when we open our heart to Jesus, he forgives us of our sin, he secures us for eternity, and we can never be separated from his love and his presence. So, Lord, that's so reassuring to remember that as we move into a new year full of hopes and fears, that we know that you meet us in all our hopes and fears. So, Lord, may we remember that. May we stay humble before you, realizing we need you every day of this year. May we stay humble. May we listen quietly to your voice every day by reading your word, by praying, remembering that we may seem too little to ourselves, but in your hands we're like a little boy who shares his fish and loaves, and you feed 5,000. So God, may we be like that little boy and offer you our too little and pray that you make it big for your glory. So help us now as we sing, respond, and prepare our hearts for a new year. In Jesus' name, amen.